You are listening to Chaos Springs Eternal, a Delta Green actual play, brought to you by Quartermasters of the Tabletop. This is Season 1, City of Woe. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes and disturbing imagery, as well as horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you're one of those people who don't mind comprehending some horrors from time to time, I think you'll have a good time listening here. Join us, won't you? Welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal Season 1, City of Woe! Noah's going to come in real late with this one. Oh, thanks, Tyler. That works. Oh, well, there you go. Man.
Can we do an RPG of Blossom?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Oh,
what about a Max Headroom RPG?
I don't want to roll to see if I can jump over the obstacle and then just get like, oh, you just keep failing. What's
okay,
the DC?
That was the banned topic for last time. Let's we're going back.
Hold on. 21 Jump Street would be a really great TPRG.
The Johnny Depp version?
Yeah. Under school, you know, infiltrating a high school.
Yeah, no, that would be a good idea. But speaking of high schools, what would y'all's
hold on, no. No, you gotta redo that one. You gotta redo that one.
Hey, listen.
You need a different segue. You
know my signature. This is my signature. Speaking of high schools, what is your dream like bucket list vacation destination? Mm-hmm. Tyler, you were pretty quick in the pre-show bant to jump on it. I'm gonna assume it's not a high school, but where would you go?
Well, you know, if it is not a high school. So I have two answers. One is a little more nostalgia. I've been there before, but I really want to go back.
The grassy knoll.
It's the grassy knoll. No. So the one I really want to go back, me and my grandparents would always go out west to the Badlands in South Dakota every year in the summer when I was up until I was like 10 or 11. And I haven't gone for almost 17 years now, and I miss it very dearly. I want to go back there. Or
Quartermasters meet up in the Badlands.
That's yeah, what we'll actually, do. We should totally do that. Unironically, we could go hiking in the Badlands. Whoa. Yes.
We are all enthusiastic hikers.
Well, at least one of us are.
y'all have fun. I'm going to stay at the hotel or wherever the fuck. I'm not doing all that shit. I'll all go right. up there for 5 minutes.
What's your other?
The other one is I want to go to Germany.
Oh, nice. Any particular area?
I'd like to see a lot of it, but maybe either the Northern Berlin area, because I'm very interested in like the World War II and the Cold War history, and I know that there is a like harsh line where you know, like the East Germany and West Germany kind of begins and ends.
I thought you were going to say a harsh line in terms of how enthusiastic you can be about World War II in Germany.
That's what I thought too.
Well, that too, but in a difference. No, like there's that very distinct, like you can tell like, oh, this is where the Berlin Wall went through in the middle of Berlin. Yeah. Either that, or I'd really like to go kind of south into more where like the Alps begin. Only because I think mountains are beautiful. I am deathly terrified of heights, so I will not be going into them. But like, just sitting at the base of a mountain is captivating to me. And I've enjoyed that ever since I was, again, a little kid going down to like Kentucky for my family vacations and looking up into them hills from the bottom of a holler and just looking up at the green mountains and being able to see a proper like snow-capped mountain, I think would be really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Mark?
I would go to Japan.
Oh.
I've never been to Tokyo. I've never been to Japan. My dad, when I was growing up, he went to Japan once or twice for work. But I never got to go. And my dad is 6'4", and I am 6'5", so he stuck out like a sore thumb there. But I just like the culture. I'd love to see just all the crazy that is Tokyo. Yeah, that's where I would go. I'm fortunate in the fact that I grew up partially in Europe, so I've seen all those things. So
what?
Yeah, I grew up in Europe. I lived 3 years of my life in Belgium. So,
yeah, because you're a military family, right?
Nope. No? My dad worked for a major pharmaceutical company growing up.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Umbrella. So,
yeah, it was Umbrella. No, yeah. So I've seen all those things. So I mean, cool. We went to Egypt, and I was there when the Berlin Wall came down. So
that's such a cool thing.
Yeah, I have an actual piece of the Berlin Wall at my house.
What?
Yeah.
I have to share just real quick before you go to Noah. There's a place in Oklahoma that's called Berlin, Oklahoma, and mm-hmm. they have a big chunk of the Berlin Wall, and it is so funny.
That's
I've been there before. That place is really cool, actually.
Yeah.
They said we'd need a piece.
Yeah.
We got to get a chunk.
Noah, where's your bucket list destination?
Honestly, it changed as I was thinking on it. Part of me always wanted to go to like Ireland and just see like the rolling hillsides and shit like that, and the cliffs and the sea. Mm-hmm. But the more I started thinking about it, I want to go back to my grandpa's house and just see the lake. Oh, I think if I ever do get a chance to like retire somewhere, I want to live somewhere like that. But just like a house next to a big old lake and just staring out at it. And nice. Doing the same annoying shit my grandpa did, where he would have a cannon and every 4th of July he would fire that shit out. And it didn't have actual He didn't get actual cannonballs into it, sadly. As far as we were told, he's the type of guy who definitely did though. It was just like, there's nothing in there. You don't worry about it.
You don't need a cannonball if you have a good enough size rock.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I honestly like Florida minus the Republicans and Disney. Yeah.
Good luck with
preferably.
That,
yeah. Yeah.
Good luck. Neither of those two are leaving.
Neither of those two are leaving at all.
Residents there.
They're staying there forever.
I need a Florida adjacent territory.
The world will end and the aliens will take over and they'll be telling stories of the weird people with the red elephants and the crazy ass mouse in the fucking glades.
Got those big lizards out there too that just their genetics are so fucked, they've never evolved. What the fuck
is 30,000 years?
A whole lot more than 30,000.
Well, I was thinking aliens, they don't know a whole lot about like necessarily how long it's been around.
That's fair, I guess. They would. I don't know if an alien's first thought would be the carbon date stuff, but
God, what if they're like, what the fuck is carbon?
Yeah.
The aliens are actually just really stupid.
No, they're really smart. They just don't know about the elements. They're like, I don't know, man. We just threw shit together and we got this.
We've really been held back by all of our knowledge of carbon is really what happened. God. I think for me, I've got Ireland and Wales. My wife and I went on a Wales trip earlier on in our marriage.
Did you see any whales?
Nope. But
did you get Wales, great white whale?
Wales is awesome. Like we were in Cardiff. We were in Cardiff and a handful of other towns that, they're just beautiful. And like driving in Wales, it was just like we turned a corner and we, again, like sort of you were saying, Noah, there was this giant lake that was just this huge, peaceful, serene lake. And then on the other side of the lake was this gigantic, like not mountain, but this huge hill. Like, oh man, I think back to that. And I'm a geologist, so Wales has like a rich history of, lots of mining and then also slate, coal and slate mining and all this great geology, that's there. And then Ireland, because that's a little bit more my family history. But those two are for sure. Like, having already gone to one, I guess, Ireland, I'd have to go to Ireland just because, it's like there's a little bit of like, this is my people.
Yeah. See, that's kind of what I really want to do. Germany for that reason, and Ireland. I'm German-Irish for that.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really cool to kind of see my great-great-great-great-grandpappy walked through these hills right here. It's just fucking crazy. And Dan and Noah probably have a little bit of, you guys obviously have experience with it to a degree just from where you are located in the country. but like Mark and I are live in the fucking most boring possible place in this goddamn country. Everything's just flat and there's corn and beans and wheat.
I live in South Carolina. There's not shit out here. We got Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, that's you have a fucking that's beach. It.
No, because I live in the center of South Carolina. We ain't got shit in here.
Yeah.
We got Lexington, we got Columbia, and that's it. My partner, when she came from like North Carolina talking about Charlotte, she said, "This is it? This is what y'all got?"
Yeah.
Hey guys, let's save the dunking on places that we live banter for another episode. But
that'll be our next episode.
So last episode we went into some downtime. We had some good times with exploring Joel and Cyril's downtime, including let's just call it sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That pretty much sums it up. Pretty that might be the name of that episode. I haven't decided yet. And guns. So guns, I mean, that's sex. Hey, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What you're missing there is just guns, right?
Right.
Like
dirty deeds done sure. Dirt cheap.
That's right. There you go. Well,
there you go.
But moving on, we wanted to give Noah a chance to explore Marcy's downtime. So I don't know, Noah, you put in some, in terms of like what activity you want to do, or you really need to get some sanity back.
Yeah, for everyone at home, I believe we mentioned last episode, everyone's basically like back at their cap. Everyone's doing great. I'm at 50. At 50 out of what was it like 60 my POW or something, right?
5 times POW minus unnatural.
But you had managed to avoid a breaking point by projecting some sanity loss
onto
your bond with the mayor, who you are supposed to meet with on Monday.
I think it's not going to go well. Just something just feels like it's not going to go as well as it probably should.
Well, we'll see, huh?
I just love that this is a typical Noah character in that they are stripping sanity at a rapid rate.
I live fast, die young. Low sanity, low luck. Even lower luck.
I love it. It's the best. Just going through sanity like it's water.
I'm going to make a new character before the end of this, the second season or second arc or whatever we're on. But it's that moment after Cyril drops her off at her house and she waves at him as he drives away to go perform his nightly activities. She goes in, unlocks the door to her house, and just goes inside and just closes the door and just stares, standing in her living room, staring at like these racks of bowling awards that she's earned from these leagues throughout like her time as a child and growing up, and it's just these remnants. She feels like a husk of a being just staring at them. I need to hit the fucking lanes. I need to hit the fucking lanes. And she just gets on her phone and starts Googling like where is the most like just she well no in her heart she knows where the most closest bowling alley is.
Yeah, the Pickled Pin Bowling Alley.
Yes. I forget, did we arrange that she has her own vehicle?
I think you can. Yeah, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't.
Okay, it is a junker for sure. And she drives it to the Pickle Pin and just starts signing up for like a small daily league thing, just like a group of people who will come in at some point and just start bowling.
I mean, they have open lanes at this point. You could free play.
Okay, she'll do that. Is there a league going on though? Like one that maybe she was too late to join or something?
Yeah, it's like, let's call it, they're mid-season, but there are teams that are always looking for, a fourth or... Hey, listen, I don't know bowling leagues. I assume 4 to 6 people is normal.
I think you need to register to join those beforehand, and maybe she just missed it and has been beating herself up about it. Like, that's why she's even been in a worse state, because she missed the league signups, and she has been kicking herself over it for a month now, probably. And she's just watching them play in her mind, critiquing every aspect of what they're doing. And at one point, she's watching one of them. She's on like a lane just down the way a little bit. She just bowls, goes in. It's 7/10 splint. God fucking damn it. Stares at it, looks around. She just starts watching one guy as he sets himself up, performs his little activity as he gets ready to start walking. He advances towards the line, and she's studying him like a hawk. every stride he takes until he keys himself up, lets the ball go, then he steps over the line, and she's just staring at him. Hey! Hey!
He looks at you. Yeah?
What? You're over the line.
Oh. Well, you know. He kind of shrugs and is like, what can you do?
Mark at zero.
He looks at the other members and he's like, you know, kind of waves them off like, ah.
Mark at zero. You're over the line.
It's like, come on, it's honor system. I didn't see
it. No, you were over the line. I was watching you. They have cameras in here. I can go ask someone to pull it up right now.
The teenager working in the front, it just like overhears this and shakes his head. No, like, it's okay. And everyone else on the team is like, yeah, it's fine.
You can see a vein pulsing on her forehead as she's just like starts breathing a little heavy, like.
And just to be clear, Noah, you're trying to gain sanity here?
Yes. She sees that nothing is happening from this and is just like, rein it in. You're not in the league. It's okay. You're not in charge of anything right now. They're not going to do anything. The next time Link signs up, you'll join and you'll kick their fucking asses. You'll kick their fucking asses. And she keys back up after the ball returns and just goes and nails the 7-10 split. Yes. Yes. She just starts saying that to herself as she just quietly, like, fumes there. And she just continues bowling as best as she can, trying to capture every essence of power that she has just to continue doing good and showing off for these fuckers who don't know who the fuck they're messing with. In her mind, at least. Yeah. It's maybe not the best game she's ever bowled considering the injury she has, but she's got it.
Okay.
She's got it.
So I know I had Tyler and Mark both roll 1d6, but this is bowling, right? We got to have you roll 1d10.
Are you serious?
I mean, come on.
Okay.
Just thematically, that makes a lot of sense.
For the meme, funny. It's worth it.
For right. The meme, because you're going to roll a one, and yeah, it's going to be really funny.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I rolled a 9. I am honestly surprised.
Nice. All right, now this is when he tells you that you have to divide that by 9 round down.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm at 59 sanity.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's a lot better than it was starting out.
I think all of you got a little sanity back, and I think it just sort of reflects you have a little bit better of an idea of what to do, right? Noah, let's advance Marcy's skills.
Okay. The skills that I've got checked right now are alertness, criminology, history, human, occult, psychotherapy, because I pulled for that like a goofball, and search.
All right.
Click in the big update box. Alrighty. They've all gone up a little bit. Not a whole bunch on some of them, but my psychotherapy and criminology went up by 3. My human went up by 1. Alertness went up by 2. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. That's, you know.
Yeah. Okay, my search also went up by 3, so I'm at a 23 right now. That's not bad.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, so having indulged your vice in the morning, you've got a... I don't remember if we gave a time for the meeting that you had with
It's been a while.
It has been a while, but I do know that whatever time... It was probably not, like, late, right?
It's probably after lunch.
Yeah, let's say it's a 1 o'clock meeting. So if you head over to the City Hall, mm-hmm. pushing past lighted doors and framed brass accents, there's a smell like mothballs and old paper, and everyone doing their best to look busy as possible on a Monday afternoon. Winding your way up the stairs and around the halls to something that you know a little better because you were just here a few short days ago.
Yeah,
outside of the mayor's office, it's Matilda Green, slender, tall woman with fair skin, light-colored hair, typing away at her computer.
Hello, Miss Green. I'm here for my appointment with Mr. Babineau.
She says, yes, one moment. Okay, Marcy, yes, you can go in. He's just finished up his lunch. I believe he's waiting for you.
Wonderful, thank you. And she will go in, shuffle some paper she has in her backpack that she's carried with her for this presentation, kind of like trying to have some stuff together for him. Mainly it's papers just showing like just work in progress printouts of like what it could look like, the site that he wants for his campaign re-election, or his re-election campaign, I said, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes in, is trying to run through how to broach the subject of like, so I damn near broke my legs at your house, at your ancestral home ground or whatever. Also haunts in just reeling from the events of everything that's happened from this bastard sending us there to try to get his home not to be bought out and bulldozed by a bigger company or something. And she's just trying not to dwell on it.
Yeah. Not to mention his dead brother.
Yeah, and his dead brother. Yeah.
I don't know if he's been notified yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's in her mind like, probably shouldn't mention that, that I saw his dead brother disemboweled, fiddling with his own internals. Awful. As a ghoul.
Well, and also, you couldn't mention that.
No. No, that's she true, could yeah. not.
Just a reminder, you are under that gauge. Which I think I pointed out at the time is a very handy tool for me.
That's a very handy tool. Now, can he talk about... He can't talk about the fiddling being all up in them guts.
Nope.
But he can talk about dead body, couldn't he?
He could talk about Antoine. Yep.
Yeah.
I could mention the rats.
Yeah.
You could mention the rats.
Yeah.
So as you push into the office, Mayor stands up. Oh, Marcy. Great to see you. Come on in. Understand you've got some updates for me. I know this was meant to be about the campaign website, but if you don't mind, I'd be curious to see how your investigation is going.
There are a lot of things going on in that house. First and foremost, I fell through the floor and had to go to the hospital because I hurt my legs severely. Luckily, Cyril and Joel were there to help me to the hospital.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that, Marcy. I did not know that there was any structural issues with the house.
Yes. But also rats.
You are fine now? Also rats, okay. Yes, I had worried about wild animal.
They tore apart an RC car that I had using to try to get some footage on some stuff with the crown molding of the floor. And it was torn up by a veritable swarm of rats that I believe we've dealt with. So that should be fine now. But yes, you were saying, sir?
I'm sorry to hear about your injury, but you are fine. I'm a little confused. Are you trying to... What, Marcy, are you... Do you need more money from me to pay for bills to replace this RC car? Is this what you're doing? I haven't paid you for this.
No, I'm not trying to string you. Yeah, absolutely. I understand. I'm not asking for more money. I'm telling you, you need to pay me more.
Well, I haven't paid you anything yet because I was waiting on the finished product as we agreed.
We have a significant amount of footage. Make no mistake, sir. We have a lot of footage that I can go get from Cyril as soon as he's done editing it down, which I'm sure he's quite busy away at. He is a very studious individual, and I have nothing but the highest respect for that man.
Cut to Cyril just absolutely going to town.
Hammering
someone he's never met before.
going to town.
Balls deep in a woman while asking a gun store.
Real, yeah.
Employee out of
commitment kind of moment, yeah. The gotcha.
Marcy, I'm sorry. This seems to be... The whole point of this endeavor was just to get some you were supposed to go do the Phantom Finder treatment, right? Go, you know, spooky camera angles. Oh, what was that sound? That sort of thing. Once we had that documented on one of the episodes of the TV show, we could submit this, you know, rush processing for marking the manor as a place of utmost importance.
It will be. It will be, sir. We should have everything that we need on our side, our footage wrapped up by hopefully Wednesday or Thursday.
That's
if
great.
All things go well.
Excellent. And then you could broadcast Saturday morning, and then we could, that submission will go through. I've got some friends who will help speed that along.
We've got some friends helping us too, sir.
Oh, okay. You brought in another ghost hunting crew?
I think he's been here for a while, but we've only recently just
Marcy, you're not saying anything. What are you... You're giving me the silent treatment? And Marcy, as you try and speak about this friend, you find yourself unable to say anything.
She looks down.
Listen, fine. Marcy, if you need some sort of advance payment, I can roll this into the website administration that you were doing. I have some campaign funds that I can allocate towards that, but we always intended to pay. We weren't going to skip out on that bill.
Sorry, sir. I just... The fall shook me up a little more than I thought it did. I'll be okay.
Well, I should hope so, Marcy. I'm a little taken aback today. It's almost as if you are projecting something onto me. It's straining our relationship.
It's almost as if our relationship has gone down a couple points.
By about three, in fact. Sorry, sir.
No, don't backtrack now. Marcy, you have your opinions. Listen, we can continue to conduct our business. Just, I appreciate the punctuality. Marcy, you need to turn your attitude around or something. You seem so down in the dumps.
Did he just tell her to smile more?
I mean, Marcy, no, go get some, go do something that makes you happy.
I did that as soon as I woke up, sir. Bowling, well, that is. I didn't, yeah, bowling, that is. I
was going to say, what does that mean?
All right, well, the Pickle Pen is a veritable institution. Awfully glad they changed their name.
The staff could be better, frankly, but yeah, can't help it.
Perhaps if you continue patronizing it, they'll be able to afford to pay someone more. And listen, Marcy, I do have a meeting here in about 10 minutes I got to get ready for, but...
Understandable, sir. I'll just leave these mock-ups with you.
Ask about Colette.
you are a fact-finding person.
You are.
When was the last time you were at that manor, sir?
Oh, I haven't been since I was...
covered this last time.
No, I don't think I mentioned, but I haven't been since, I don't know, since I was... maybe a teenager. It's been quite some time.
Did you talk to a lot of your family about the history of that manor?
I mean, there's rumors and things going around, but it's never something I put much stock in. I spent so much time out of town. Once I turned 18, went to New Orleans and spent some time there. Went to school, went to my other jobs before I wound up coming back here to campaign for mayor. I mean, I'm aware of some of the history, yes, but anything specific that...
We've hit upon a snag in some of the research. We're trying to figure out someone named Colette?
Yeah, when you say that, he's like, his face goes a little flushed. Just Colette, yeah. Yes, I know that name. That was Great Aunt Layla's, one of her... handmaids, or one of the maids, helpers that was hired on to look over, maybe a nanny, but I think at that time, Layla was, 10 or 11 years old, so not exactly in need of a nanny, more a friend than anything else. But what did you want to know about Colette?
Just just general information. We've been trying to figure out more and more about it, and we've hit upon like her name a couple times and some of the things we've been finding there. Trying to research more about some of the stuff that they actually have. We found a couple diaries that we've been trying to comb through and find more information on the goings on of the manor, if they have any knowledge of other stuff. We found a lot of stuff that could be useful about the Prohibition era. When I fell through the floor, I actually fell onto a speakeasy bar top.
Oh yes, I knew there was a bar down there. I don't know if it was in Prohibition or not, but it was established after. Who knows? Again, there's a lot of interesting history behind that house. Some of it,
yes,
more verifiable than others. But why Colette? What is the?
It's just a quiet spot of just trying to do a little dive into the family itself and the people that they had in the manor. And it's just a blind spot we have, and I abhor a blind spot.
Well, some blind spots are better left blind. It's every family has secrets that must be kept, you understand. And at this point, I think that you could make some sort of roll to, you know, and then depending on what this roll does, you can pry a little more or maybe get a lead for something else, you know.
I'm peering through my very poorly allotted skills, trying to find something I think I want to leverage for this. My persuade's a flat 20, psychotherapy 13, which is funny but not applicable. But my history's at a 32, and I think that's my best shot, other than like alertness maybe.
You have humint?
Humint's at an 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's see. Why is your SIGINT 30? Oh, because your computers. Yeah. Let's see. Okay.
I was thinking about trying to leverage history and just trying to flavor into, like, I've been researching as much of the history of the manor as I can. And
yeah, this sounds good.
Why don't we do that? Would know what questions to ask, for sure.
Yeah.
And just trying to key it into as far close to Colette as I can.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. Let's see this roll.
Let me check something, because I got a 48 over 32.
Here comes another 16 luck.
Do you have 16 luck? Do you want to spend the 16 luck? Spending luck in downtime, baby.
I think I would like to.
Okay.
I've got 28.
All right. That leaves you with
homie.
12.
12 luck.
Jesus, no. My guy.
Spend it or die with it.
That's true. That's true.
I mean,
that's
yeah, true. But
I mean,
spend it all and you're gonna die.
This is a pretty big one. As you as you're sort of focusing on sort of this historical aspect to everything, right? You know, big emphasis on the history. And he says, "Well, this listen." And he looks at his watch and he yells out to his secretary, "Miss Green, can you push back my next meeting just a few minutes, just to have him wait out there?" Yes, goes to the door to do that, and then he walks back to his desk after shutting the door, and says, "Now, Mossy, you're trying to get a good history. Well, this, listen, every family has a skeleton in the closet, and I don't mean someone murdered, but it's quite a shameful story. As Colette was hired as maid for Layla, but she was pregnant off of one of the Babineau boys, one of Layla's cousins. And when things were found out, child was delivered, stillborn, and she was quite upset, both from the birth and from her subsequent dismissal. It's really just a shameful thing. I mean, had the child lived, they would have been provided for. And Colette was not supposed to be doing those sorts of things. And so there was some, let's say there was some family politics that were going on at the time that were unpleasant, to say the least. At least from Layla's point of view, which is where I've heard most of this story from.
I understand. Thank you, sir. Also, did Miss Marie Babineau enjoy white lilies? We were exploring the grounds trying to get some B-roll footage, and we found her grave with some others. Would you like us to go around and clean some of them, or do you prefer it to look aged? We'll have both shots, obviously.
Well, you know, keeping them clean is something that we, as far as I know, there was some company employed to go out there and clean once a year, just basic upkeep, prevent any, you know, overgrown moss and replace ones that may have been knocked down, that sort of thing. Wyatt Lily.
Do you have the information for that company?
Sure, I can find it. Some property management
okay.
In town. He says I can email you that information later. But no, I mean, just because living in the South as we do, graves tend to age rather rapidly, even though they are stone. But that's just the nature of things. As far as the white lily, yes, that is a tradition we keep up planting in Marie Angie's grave. She being the great matriarch of the family.
I see.
I'll admit, having not gone out there for a while, I'm surprised it's kept up. But I suppose that's why we pay the property manager.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry that I started off so aggressive this evening. We'll have it done. We'll have it done as soon as possible, sir.
Understood. I'll look over these drafts and get back to you.
Have a good day.
You as well. And he stands up to open the door, dismiss you, and bring in his next appointment.
Who is his next appointment? Do I recognize any faces? Any anyone?
It's just like some other government figure. Looks like maybe a guy in commerce or something. Just like, I'm here to talk about those building applications for the rent, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, some nerd.
You instantly go into that voice for
some nerd.
Yeah. The point is that it's someone, it's like, it's one of those meetings that like he has to do, you know, because it's like, this is like money and like all that sort of stuff. But it's, I personally don't care about that. So, I mean, without tipping my hand too much, it's not related to anything in the plot at all. So, it's just up to get you out of there.
Who knew this was a zoning podcast?
Yes.
We cut to inside there as they chart out like zoning bylaws.
We got to prep for Wednesday night's community meeting where we were discussing, you know, turning this, 0.68 acre lot into a small park.
As a Hoth's in the back objecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say no. Why do you say no? You wouldn't comprehend my reasons. You can't, hey, Azathoth, you can't just say that every time.
I must go back to sleep.
It's like I saw all these memes on Twitter that were pictures of H.P. Lovecraft, and he was like, what if people were fishmen? That would be kind of scary, right?
Right?
or like, you guys, I thought of something so scary. You can't even imagine how scary it is.
Yeah, it's so unimaginable.
What was that one story where he was just terrified of the air conditioners?
I don't know.
It was. I watched a video on it. It was a Overly Sarcastic Productions where they reduced a story down to basically explaining that he didn't know how air conditioners worked and he got scared and just wrote a story about a guy melting into a pile of goo in a bathroom.
Are you sure that's not a dream you had?
No, I'm sure. I'm sure.
my favorite H.P. Lovecraft, I think it's H.P. Lovecraft, is the one where the wizard puts a curse on the family that none of the males will live past, you know, like 35 or something. And come to find out, like, they all die. And it turns out it's just the wizard coming to visit them on their 35th birthday and beating them to death.
Beating them to death, yeah.
What is your mighty wizard power? A big fucking club.
I cast fist.
Basically, yeah.
No, I did. I just did a quick Google search. I completely forgot the short story exists. It's just called Cool Air.
Yeah.
It's let's see. The narrator's phobia is about cool air is reminiscent to Lovecraft himself, who is abnormally sensitive to the cold. What a little bitch.
Yeah,
that could be described like, to any of his stories.
Listen, I love Lovecraft stories, but a lot of them are just like, they're not like scary, right? They're just like,
no, they're just weird.
They're just weird, and it's like,
yeah.
It is fun to sort of think about some of the things that he writes about, but ultimately, you know, it's not like there's
people
a reason.
Of color were scary to him.
Yes, and the Irish.
Oh God!
Oh boy!
Yeah. And anyone with a skin tone darker than his, right. and also,
yeah. Well,
but the more you look at H.P. Lovecraft, the more you realize. He would be one of those people that would have very sensitive issues to cold air.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like a complete, you know.
He looks like the kind of guy who would be like, this gazpacho is too chilly.
It's too cold.
My teeth hurt.
Honestly, that as someone with sensitive teeth, I feel that.
Yeah.
Get stronger teeth.
Yeah, he do be kind of looking like what I imagine the 1920s equivalent of a bubble boy would look like.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. All right, so I want to know. Okay, so let's fast forward to let's go to Monday night. Mm-hmm. Having everyone gone through their Mondays, is there anything else you guys want to talk about Monday night? As you, I'm assuming throughout the day you've sort of said like, hey, tonight's bad, you know, work and other stuff. But, you know, can we get back there Tuesday night? And then, I don't know, what else you think of Monday night into Tuesday? Any?
Oh, Marcy goes buys the supplies that her uncle told her to buy.
Good.
Yeah. I think Cyril's big switch over after his romp, and he does all his developing and things like that, is that he will switch to film cameras.
Okay.
So he's going to be... he's going to be taking that, you know, he'll still carry a digital one with him, but he's going to have his really nice film camera so that there's less of an issue, I guess.
Okay. I know one thing that's going to happen Tuesday morning. Also, I assume Marcy communicates what she learned about Colette to
yes, absolutely.
Okay.
She also will inform them that the she'll try to find a way to meet with them or something, because she's not sure how spreading information regarding him will go over text or call. Because like
by him,
assuming...
I assume you mean Glomus.
Yes. I fucked up. I kept forgetting his name because it sounds so much like something else. She will try to meet up with them sometime just to inform them. Like, yeah. So that spell he did totally works. They will hear you just stop talking. You'll just not say anything. Or at least that's what happened to me when I mentioned even vaguely about regarding him.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad it works.
Yes.
So you've relayed this whole story to us.
Absolutely.
Are we on like a three-way call with Joel like on his break or after work or something?
Yeah.
I pictured we would just get together after work.
Yeah, you could get together either at someone's house or
just somewhere for like a small lunch or something, or like a small like
supper.
Supper. Yeah, supper.
Let's make a diner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we make a diner?
Hey, this is something that we can do as part of like inventing Care 4. Let's make a diner. What do you want to make the diner called?
Denny's.
Nope.
Denny's with only one.
Denny's. Yeah, Denny's is the only one.
Lenny's. Actually, I kind of like Lenny's. Annie's. Is it?
Annie's. Okay.
What about, let's take it one abstraction further. What about Eddie's?
Okay.
Eddie's Diner.
It's a ripoff of Denny's.
Yes.
And so instead of the Grand Slam, he has the In the Park.
No, instead of the Grand Slam, he has a touchdown. It's very like football themed.
Football themed.
Yeah. What's the eggs over my hammy equivalent?
It is the touchback.
Touchback.
Okay. I was expecting something like...
He's got the Hail Mary. He's got the touchback, the Hail Mary, the touchdown, the through the uprights.
He's got Goodyear blimp over chimps, which is banana pancakes.
That doesn't sound bad. Goodyear blimp over chimps sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
He's got the CTE special.
We've all had that.
Wow. You can't remember you ate it.
Which is it's coffee, tea, and eggs.
Coffee and tea eggs.
Coffee and tea eggs, yep.
There we go. Yep.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever fucking heard. Right. Oh my god.
Well, you guys meet at Eddie's Diner and find a nice corner booth. I don't want to know your orders, just this is the context of you all talking. So what's your reaction to the Colette story? Does this bring up any theories or inspiration?
Hold on, sorry. So you said Colette got pregnant with one family's kids and she was stillborn? Kid was stillborn? She was kicked out.
According to him, yeah.
Did we know what kid?
He didn't say. I didn't think to ask for a name. I should have quite so, but I felt like I was pushing my luck as far as I was. Telling him he needed to pay us more. Mm. On account of hazard pay.
Yeah, for you especially. So she got pregnant by one of the Babineau boys, and then stillborn, but did he mention what happened to the baby? Did they bury it on the grounds, or did they...
I wonder if that was actually what happened. If they were told it was stillborn, but something else occurred. He had mentioned that they wanted to have they had a bunch of skeletons in the closet, and he was remiss to tell me more, it seemed. I felt like I was quite lucky enough to get what I did.
Interesting.
So, Colette gotta be Marguerite's mama.
Yes.
I think that's the working theory, right? But where'd she go? I mean, she was dismissed from her maid job by the Babineaus after having disgraced the family, I guess.
Are we sure that she was actually dismissed?
That's a good question. I mean, was she dismissed in the way, like, she left, found a new job, or was she dismissed into a shallow grave out back?
Mm-hmm.
Of how this town was back then, I mean, unfortunately, I wouldn't be surprised if a woman of color suddenly vanished after something. Big families like this around here had to face, otherwise it wouldn't be taken seriously.
Do we know the race of Colette?
I don't think you know that specifically, but given that she was a maid and was dismissed as she was, that's a pretty reasonable...
Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be jumping to conclusions about...
I felt like I totally remember hearing something about...
You might be right. I don't remember.
Dark-skinned or something along those lines helper.
It's one of those things that it's like, hey, we're four white guys running a podcast, but we're also set in Louisiana, so there's a significant number of people of color, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I was kind of working with it in my head, but I don't know if we've come out and said that. So
okay. I just wanted to be sure. Cause,
Tyler stealing Dan's notes again.
Yeah, Tyler getting all the answers, yeah. Well, I think we need to find out what happened to Colette, I think, or something. We need to figure out, because my thing is like, if maybe I'm working off a weird theory, but if a baby's stillborn, I mean, depending on who you ask nowadays, but they weren't a living entity like Marguerite is, right? No. They weren't a little girl running around the place.
I don't think it was stillborn. I don't think they were stillborn. I think they did live in much akin to some other literature. Kept her in the house. Did not allow her to leave. Something happened, and then they killed her, or she died.
Okay. I mean, who could we ask to verify this stuff other than the mayor? There's no one else alive except him, right? Or is his aunt still alive? I can't remember.
No, his aunt just recently passed away.
Right, so...
We do know someone who might be able to help with that.
You mean our friend in the sewers?
Yes. I don't remember the time period he said a corpse has to be for him to bring it back, but that is a potential lead. She says, like, very leery at the digging up someone's grave.
Right.
And reanimating them to ask them, hey, you know about some dead ghosts and you know some family drama?
You're really trying to update our ancestry.
Your handler here at this point does point out that when you had asked Glomus about Colette and Marguerite, he was unaware of those names.
Although
they kind of rung some bell.
The other thing we could do is go back to the house and just fucking ask. Right?
That's really funny. Outside of the game, I did not even consider just asking Marguerite.
Hey, what's your deal? What's going on? What the fuck is up with you?
Do you need help?
She's talked to us before. I don't know why she wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, she's kind of mad at us, I guess. But if she wants to get out of the house. She did steal
Joel's sister.
Well, that's the other thing. Is like, we got to figure that shit out, too.
Hey, when that happens, Joel, you get a phone call.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, boy.
Oh, fuck.
Bring, bring. All right, he'll pull it out.
Hey, Joel. This is...
Hang on, while I think of a name.
This is Andrew, over at the Daily Gator. Have you talked to Clementine lately? She didn't have time off scheduled today, but she didn't come in today, and, like, we're fine, but, you know, we were able to get everything pushed out, but she coming in tomorrow, you know?
I am so sorry. We had a bit of a family incident occur. I don't know when the next time she's going to be available.
Oh, she's like on indefinite hiatus?
I don't know. But...
Okay, I mean, she's like everyone's boss, so I don't... I guess I'm the boss now. Until she gets back.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Andrew. Listen, if I get a hold of her, I'll make sure to relay, but she had to get out of town real quick and go out to New Orleans, but I don't know. No one's had contact with her since she got out that way.
Yeah, she hasn't answered her phone. It's been going straight to voicemail, so just, all right. Normally, you know, rules say you're supposed to let us know beforehand. I mean, but she's kind of the boss, so she can just kind of approve her own time. Anyways, all right, thanks. We'll get this edition printed tonight. All right.
Yeah. Bye. He hangs up and just like gently puts his phone on the table and thinks about it real hard.
Joel, who was that?
I don't even know how the fuck he got my phone number. That was one of Clementine's coworkers, and she hasn't returned to work today. Which, I'm not gonna lie, really doesn't help with my anxiety or my hopes and prayers that whatever happened in there the other day was actually not her.
Joel, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do coke about this again.
Pound of coke.
Oh.
Yeah. I would also like to say, just out of character, these two don't know about his addiction.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think that's reasonable.
The only other person who knows anything about this is Kian.
Kian, yeah.
And I don't even think he really knows how bad it is. Anyways.
Joel, if you need anyone to talk to, I mean, we're here for you, man.
Yeah.
Marcy, I appreciate it.
Marcy, what's your psychotherapy again?
13.
Yeah.
No, yeah, literally 13.
And he stands up and he says, I'll be back in 2 minutes. He just goes out to his car real quick, grabs the journal.
Does a bump?
<I'm> worried.
He right off the
just table. In broad daylight, just at like 3 p.m.
No, he'll go out to his car, grab the journal that he has from the house, and will bring it in. And while they are waiting on their food, he will search through the book looking for any other Babineau name that is associated with Colette, whether that be one of her cousins that might be taking a shine to her, or what we say her grandma was? Mary? Marie?
Marie Angie.
Marie Angie. Yeah, looking for like Marie Angie or anything. Just looking for any clue on who in that house is still alive that we could talk to who would know anything. Like I said, yeah, like whether that be one of her cousins, yeah, or even like just someone else who worked in the house at some point other than Colette.
I also got some information on the company that's been taking care of the graves with that white lily out there. I wonder if they've been doing that or if that's something else from the house.
There's no way that a place that just takes care of the graves only puts a flower on one grave.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something going on.
I mean, lilies are perennials, so they'll come back every year.
Yeah, but it's still weird that it hasn't spread anywhere.
That's true.
And he'll, like, tap his finger on the page that he's, like, currently has the book open to. And he's going to say, there's got to be information in here. Either Marie and Colette got along really well together and just, unfortunately, no one else in the family wanted it, or that could be something to keep family out or keep her separated from the family, her being Colette, baby. And I don't know. I really don't know. The only thing I know is that there's only a couple of reasons that I know of, going by our homies' interpolation, that media myths exist for a reason.
Absolutely.
Their bodies have to be on that property, right?
They have. I mean, possibly. Have we fully exhausted all the paperwork trail for that house?
Then he picks up the journal again. He's like, I've read probably about 7 pages in this thing.
I know, but I'm wondering, like, municipality, like, you have a birth. I mean, even in the 20s, they were keeping birth records, right?
Oh, that stuff, they're keeping it secret.
Right, that's what I'm wondering, if, like, there's stuff that we don't have access to that maybe the mayor could give us access to? Because we need to, we got to track this one down, because Colette would have a job, but she would have, you know, I know, like I said, it was the 20s, but...
So, you know, Colette would have been, by the way, this is, Colette was Layla's maid, and so
yes.
Layla was old, but this was probably in the late 50s, early 50s. 60s. Okay. That she would have been, you know, 10, 12 years old.
Okay.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's a possibility that Colette has a working record that we could find.
That would be something you can investigate.
Yeah.
You could go back to the library and hit that up. There's other opportunities. I would say, though, from Marcy's search online and from perusing the journal of Layla, which is Layla, you know, she had written about her great grandmother, I think it was great grandmother, Marie Angie. So just to keep those all straight, that her grave was the one that she loved, right, and spent time at. Right. So,
oh my God, she's buried there.
But
who's buried where?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I think Colette is buried under Marie Angie's grave.
No, that's an idea, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you write it down? Just spell out Marie Angie for me?
Oh my God.
Marie Angie and Marguerite are real close.
Well, there's definitely an N in there that doesn't belong, right?
No, yes. I will say this is not
it's not an anagram.
Anagram.
Oh God, okay. That would have been the funniest.
That was a good one though, Tyler.
I you said it and I don't know why, like it hit me and I was like,
it's a lot of all the same letters.
Son of a bitch.
Well, like, yeah.
The silent T.
Yeah, or just like, it wasn't even necessarily like it was an anagram, but more just like Marie and Marguerite. Like, there's like, I'm sure someone's gone by Marie.
The No, the way you've been saying Marie Angie, I was like, you're really incentivized. You're really saying that name a lot. You're really, there's something there we're not getting.
No.
No, I mean, that's one of those things that, like,
DM saying a name in a thing that's just going to happen to come up a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's unintentional. It's just because, you know, strictly speaking, she is a Babineau by marriage only, but right. The way that both the mayor and the Journal of Layla talk about Marie Angie, they always speak with her both first names. Also, very Southern thing. But again, sort of emphasizing some of the matriarchal stuff that's going on here.
That was so funny.
Two wild speculations, both Colette being buried in Marie Angie's grave, and then I don't know, Marie Angie being the ghost child that you were.
I don't know, man. We've seen some weird stuff, and I just it was one of those things. I just had that inkling in the back of my brain. I just had to say it. Again, another pin in the Pepe Sylvia board.
Now I don't have what was I gonna say? Oh no, I have the story. Like I have this pretty well down in terms of everything that happened. And so I can say that with the sources that you have now, you have figured out as much as you can about Colette. Now that you know who Colette is, you can try and go find more information. Sure. But as far as what you know from what you have, you've exhausted it.
Okay, do we have like a full family workup of the Babineaus? Like, do we have brothers and sisters of Layla? Do we have...
Ooh.
Because that's the other thing, is that we're focusing on Layla and Marguerite and Colette. But there had to be a Babineau boy there to get her pregnant, correct?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of saying. I was looking for a name of a cousin.
Are they protecting... Babineau's that
own
sort of...
immaculate conception.
Yeah.
So, the way that the mayor spoke to Marcy... was sort of that this would have been a cousin, I believe I said. Did not provide a name.
Right. Okay. So just one of those things that happened in, like the Jim Crow South.
And it's sort of, it is not proud family history, but it's something that people are aware of.
Okay.
So
I didn't know if we were like looking for.
I mean, you could try and go press the mayor more on this if you wanted to, but that might
all three of us just go.
Just in there.
That might end badly, I'll say.
Yeah.
We should bring that sheriff with us.
Yeah, I think that the best thing we can do now is either go search the grounds and see if Colette is buried there somewhere, or Marguerite as well. Or we just go talk to Marguerite. Not a whole lot left. I feel like we've exhausted most of the paper trails. Unless Joel can pull some out that journal. I mean, that's our only options here.
I'll read it properly tonight after I get home.
We should get in contact with that sheriff and see what he's doing. He's a part of this, too.
So you mean the detective?
Detective. Yeah.
Also, usually you can pull up genealogy pretty easily. Marcy, can you find the proper family tree at the library next time you're out that way?
Yeah, I'll go this evening.
Any other Babineaus alive other than the mayor, we need to talk to him.
Wait, when does the library close?
Probably 4 p.m. And that's reasonable, right?
Also,
yeah.
Did the mayor seem upset? Does he know about his brother?
I didn't want to broach the subject, especially after the doohickey thing, the spell, I guess, caused me to just not say anything. I kind of just avoided broaching that subject.
Interesting. Okay. So he didn't seem visibly upset with the death of his brother, if he knew about it.
He likely... I didn't even consider this. What if he set up his brother's death? Well, no, it looked like it. No, he couldn't have. No, that's insane. I mean, sorry,
his brother was left in an open field.
Yeah, but those wounds didn't look like something like... Yeah.
That's true. There's something... I mean, our mutual friend told us that there's something else out there in the woods and in the lands that's doing this kind of thing.
I don't think it's the mayor. I'm also still
real curious about that pink Jeep.
Fuck, I forgot about that bastard.
That pink Jeep's been haunting me since day one. Quite literally.
I'm gonna start asking around, see if people know where the pink Jeep's from, because I need to give them a piece of look it up.
Can he find a pink Jeep? It's gotta be the only pink Jeep in town. Lifted pink Jeep.
You're absolutely right. I didn't even think about it. We can just ask the detective.
I mean, he owes us. I mean, we've been through some shit.
This is the smallest thing we could ask of him.
Can he look up a pink Jeep owner?
Do you guys call him?
Yeah.
Yeah. We put him on speakerphone at Eddie's, yeah.
Okay. It rings. It rings. It rings. It rings. And we in there with that phone ringing.
Oh, you bastard.
You son of a bitch.
That's...
Okay.
Which we'll pick it up here next time. Ugh. Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal. This is City of Woe, this first season of this. We're into the first arc, which is fun little downtime scene. We are Delta Green Actual Play. Shout out Arc Dream Publishing for making such a fun game. Make sure you check the links in the show notes for all our socials. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. When you do that, you can email us with an NPC bio idea, and we can drop them into Care 4 and have them show up. Keep an eye out for a post in the Reddit Delta Green subreddit. Thanks to all of those who upvote us there. Also, please go back and check episode 11. I had the wrong audio uploaded. So, in case you didn't see the note on Twitter, you might want to go re-listen to that one. It rings.
Imagine rings. Just after going through all of this.
It rings and he's a booth over from us.
Hang on, you guys are cutting into a very dramatic ending here.